Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Edmonton Oil Kings press conference today at 11. Team will fly tomorrow on a charter to the Memorial Cup in St. John, New Brunswick, and they will be the favorite for that event. Over the course of the last few days, we've had Jake Neighbors and Caden Gooley, as well as Justin Sortoff on the show, and we'll have updates every day from the Memorial Cup next week as well on Oilers Now. Royal Pizza, Pizza Pasta, and so much more. Edmonton-owned and operated for over 50 years for a menu. And a list of their 15 Edmonton and area locations. Go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation at Royal Pizza is the Mediterranean Chicken. Without further ado, we are pleased to be joined, according to Puckpedia, by an NHL agent that has the third largest book in terms of volume of dollars on clients of any agency out there. Jerry Johansson, back on the show from the Sports Corporation. Is that a good thing that I mentioned that, Jerry, or a bad thing?
Well, like I said, don't tell my wife, Bob, because she thinks we have more money than we do. So that would be, maybe keep that quiet.
Okay. No one listens to the show, Jerry, so don't worry. I used to have a guy that I worked with the Oilers, and he used to tell me, remind me all the time of how relatively insignificant I was. And I told him, it's bad enough that I hear about that in my own household, but to hear that from you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put your phone number, I'm going to say on the air, look, if you want Oilers tickets for this game, you contact this individual from the Oilers office at this cell number, and he will find out just how insignificant.
Perfect. I think you should. Yeah, yes. I think a lot of people are listening to you, Bob.
Oh, so. Well, thank you. Flattery will get you everywhere. Jerry, I got to ask you this. Bill Zito was with Acme for a long time. They, of course, as you know, are now part of Wasserman with Jeff Jackson. But Bill Zito was an NHL agent before he went to work for Columbus. Kent Hughes was with Quartex before he became the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens. You have one of the largest books out there. Have you ever thought about crossing the floor and becoming an NHL general manager?
Well, that's, you know, funny enough, we talk about it sometimes. Scott Bonner and I talk about that. And, you know, it would certainly be a fun challenge. You know, the only problem is I really enjoy this business. So, and it's going pretty well. So, it's, you know, we might talk about it over a beer kind of thing, but that's about as far as it gets. But certainly Kent Hughes and Bill Zito, I know both guys well. They're doing a really good job. Like, they're, I think the way that we live the business is just a little bit different. It's very similar to what the teams go through, but, you know, we see best practices and, you know, we're, you know, it's all about player acquisition and we're really involved with players. So, you know, we do have a pretty interesting take on it.
One thing that has been communicated to me over the years, Jerry, dating all the way, and I'm going to go all the way back to the mid-2000s, was that when you do a deal with Jerry Johansson, you want to do another deal with him. And you've got some pretty good deals. And frankly, I look at some of the contracts you've been able to get guys and thought you hammered the teams. So is there an approach to, in terms of best of practices, in terms of maybe just being never being confrontational, I guess, in terms of the negotiation? Like, do you think that benefit? Because you kind of come across as being a nice guy instead of being adversarial. And as a result, do you think you get better deals for your clients?
Well, I think if you're realistic about what you have, you know, I think it's a good place to start. And I've said this before, but I really do respect what teams are going through. Like I have a really clear understanding what GMs and assistant GMs and scouts, the pressure they're under, the job that they have in front of them. And I think if you understand what the teams are going through, you're starting sort of on second base, if you will, you know, because they do have a tough job. And I think in our business, it's easy to get caught up in your own situation, but you do have to have some respect for what the teams are going through, good and bad. And if you start there, I think, you know, the conversation flows a little better.
All right. Last Saturday night, Elliot Friedman reported that Duncan Keith and Mike Smith were being given some time by Oilers general manager Ken Holland on deciding whether or not they want to retire. They both got a year left in their term. You did not negotiate the initial Keith deal, but you picked him up last summer. Have you got anything further to that on where Duncan's headspace is at?
Well, just a couple things. One, I mean, just to recap, I mean, Edmonton was his first choice by far to come from Chicago. And I will say Duncan loved it here. He really did. And this is a guy that played, you know, obviously in the heyday in Chicago, but he was just really, really happy with coming here and couldn't say enough good things. And I think like any player that's older, you know, I think he just wants to give his body some time with understanding the pressure, the timelines that the Oilers are under. And I really don't know what he's going to do, but I do know one thing. He's a smart guy and he knows his body. And I think he just has to, as a 39-year-old, make sure that he's got the juice if he's going to come back. And so, you know, I think in pretty near future, we'll have an understanding of that.
So I look at Duncan and he's a Hall of Fame defenseman who's won two Norris trophies. Sometimes those guys, and I look at Chris Chelios, he played till he was 48 and his body was his temple. And Duncan had his own nap, whatever they call it, backpack, knapsack, whatever you want. He had his own stuff on the planet. Like, this guy was, to be in the level of conditioning that he was, and they did decelerate his minutes this year. He didn't have to play 23 or 24 in Edmonton because Darnell was here. Like Jerry, I got to tell you, when you initially picked him up, I thought, okay, he does his 2 years, and then maybe he does, you know, sort of a year-by-year thing where he, you know, and he doesn't have to play all the time that's top four. Is that out of the realm of possibility for him down the road?
Well, I can tell you one thing with Duncan, like, he is a machine. Like, Brent Seabrook is a machine, and he talks about Duncan with reverence. Like, he says this guy is the best conditioned athlete he's ever seen, and Steve's has seen some athletes. So I know one thing about Duncan, he's going to give it some real thought, and if he says he can play, I'm sure he can, because he's a super athlete.
In your opinion, when you look at the situation in Edmonton, if Duncan Keith, and I think, like, Spec thinks it's 85-15, he's coming back. I said, you know, 70-30, 75-25, whatever the case. You know, I think he's probably going to play. Does that matter, since you also represent Brett Kulak? Would that, if Duncan came back, would that, you know, make it more difficult to get Brett re-signed here in Edmonton? Or do you think it's not really a factor based on Kulak's performance? Because it's funny, Montreal had Sherratt that went to Florida and Kulak that went to the Oilers. And it went way better for Brett here at Edmonton, and the Oilers got way more out of their asset that they that Florida gave up a number one to get Sherratt. The Oilers gave up a two to get Kulak, and Canadians retained some money. He played pretty well for this team, Jerry.
Yeah, I think he did too. He really liked it here as well. And I think Duncan Keith back makes everybody want to come here. Like, I think, you know, in a dressing room, you need guys like Duncan Keith. Like, it's important. And what they do on the ice, obviously, is really important, but they bring so much more to it. So, you know, I think Brett playing with someone like Duncan is a positive all around, you know. So I think, you know, whether Dunk decides to come back or not, I think, you know, I know Brett's going to give really serious consideration to re-signing here. We got lots of work to do yet. It's early. But, yeah, no, having Duncan in your dressing room is a good thing and on the ice.
Have you had a sit down yet with Ken Holland?
Yeah, we've chatted a few times. So, yep, Ken is awesome. Like, you know, talk about, you know, our window into the teams, like working with guys like, you know, Ken Holland and, you know, Lou Lamoriello and Doug Armstrong. It's pretty cool. And, you know, Ken is one of the most charming guys I know, for sure. I basically could spend all day talking to that guy. But we did talk about Brett, and obviously they want him back. And you know, there's some challenges, obviously, that Edmonton has, but I know they're on it. And it's just going to be a little bit of time, I think, and just like normal, just sort of get into that conversation and then, you know, get Brett engaged in that and see where we end up.
From the Sports Corporation, some would call him super agent, Jerry Johansson. He would not call himself that. Jerry, how closely are you following the Edmonton goaltending situation? Because you've got a couple guys that are RFAs that might be looking for a starter's job. And you've also got a guy that is Copley out of Washington. Is he a UFA or an RFA?
He's a UFA at the end of the year, so or whenever the date is now, it's the end of the year, but July, whatever the new date is, I can't even remember. But yeah, he's you know, he should be out in the market, and you know, Alex Grigoriev in New York, I think, will be available at some point here. So, you know, there's, like, you know, like every year, there's some good prospects out there, and I know, you know, obviously, you know, the goaltending here was good. I know Skinner is really good. I don't know him, but I know he's been great. And obviously Mike Smith was pretty solid as well. But yeah, like all the teams, we got lots of good players, Bob, for them.
So yeah.
Sometimes they believe us, sometimes they don't, but that's fair.
All right. Well, you know, you've also got Mrazek's with the Leafs still, is he not?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, and there's been lots of discussion about him. Do you have Vachanek or the guy in Washington?
We have Vitek Vanacek. Yep, 100%.
Yep.
And so he's still there. And but you know, like the goaltending situation is pretty fluid the last couple of years. Like there's a few guys that really are established, and you know, but lots of these guys, I think, you know, coming here would be good if you need them. I mean, right now, I think, you know, the goaltending has been. Yeah, I know it's a little inconsistent, but I think it's been pretty solid, and I think the team's maturing for whatever that's worth, and certainly Ken and Keith Gretzky and those guys are right on it, so I'm pretty confident they'll make the right decisions.
We're joined by Jerry Johansson. You know, the one guy that our fans bring up a lot that you have that's on a team that, you know, they were a playoff team 3 or 4 years ago, they're not right now, is Elvis Merzlikins. There's a lot of guys, and this actually stems all the way back to when he played for Latvia. They're like, this guy's a good goalie. And he stoned the Oilers in that afternoon game. That was the last game they lost in the regular season. I mean, he's do you ever get guys sniffing around a bit asking whether or not you think Columbus might move him?
Well, yeah, I think we do, but also in our business, you also know Columbus is probably going to hang on to him because Yarmo's pretty smart too, so I don't think he's going to let him go.
Yeah.
But if you ever could get him, boy, that'd be a good get because Elvis has been a good goalie for a long time, and as you get to know him as a kid, like a lot of our guys, he's just a real pro, and you know, he's just going to get better. So I have a feeling he's not going anywhere, but boy, if you ever could get him, that would be a good get.
Yeah, and of course you had Kosa and Wahlstedt in the draft last year.
Yeah.
I think those two teams are pretty happy with the guys they got.
Yeah, they're both, yeah, they got bright futures. Very different in a way, like, you know, how their personality is, but very unique. And I Sebastian and Jesper both are, I think, are going to have long careers, and hoping that Sebastian can bring home the trophy for the league and for Edmonton.
Now, you did play in the WHL yourself. And were you not involved in a fairly infamous moment in WHL history with Brian Maxwell?
I don't remember, Bob.
Okay.
One thing I have learned is selective memory is a very valuable thing. I have no idea what you're talking about. And thank God it's on VHS and nobody has it anymore, so I don't want to see it. So, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not proud of a lot of things that happened in the past, so just leave it at that.
Well, you were a tough guy in the WHL.
Yeah. Max and I were close. He's one of my good friends. I haven't seen him in a long time, but when we run into each other after, we get along great. So
okay.
The things you do in the heat of the moment, not very bright. So.
There's nothing wrong with coaches having a little bit of an exchange.
Yeah, but it was just a friendly conversation. Yeah,
of course, you didn't know that it became unfriendly. That was part of the problem.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. Oh, I didn't say I was smart back then. I can tell you that. I'm not sure if I'm any smarter, but I'm not as dumb as I was.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Well, that's the one thing. The older you get, the more you realize, the less you know. We're joined by Jerry Johansson from the Sports Corporation. Hey, Jerry, it is the NHL draft this year. I got to tell you, I haven't dug in as much in past years, just partially because Edmonton obviously went 3 rounds. And the other part of it is the Oilers right now only have 1 pick in the first 4 rounds, which is a late first-round pick. On the first-round pick front, how many kids do you guys think you could potentially have going in the opening round of the draft?
Well, thanks to my partner, Scott Bonner, and our group, I think we're going to have probably 5 this year. So yeah, it's going to be good. We got, you know, Matt Savoy and Dent Mateychuk and Kaczynski, a defenseman out of Seattle from Saskatoon, is a really good player. And you know, we got Jonathan Lekkerimäki out of Sweden, and then we got the big guy from Slovakia, Juraj Slafkovský. So all 5 pretty good, and we got some really good players. You know, Jordan Gustafson, a local boy here who played in Seattle, and we got some really good players. And you know, as we all know, in the second, third, fourth rounds, there's a lot of good players to be picked there.
And what message would you send to parents that are maybe listening right now that have got kids that maybe thought their kids were going to go higher in the WHL Bantam draft and that sort of thing? I know you because you start recruiting kids these days at 13, 14 years of age, and it doesn't always necessarily line up with the way the teams are thinking in the league sometimes. And can you... Do you have to tell the kids sometimes, don't worry about where you're drafted?
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob, I don't know what I know, but there's one thing I know for sure, and that is it does not matter where you get picked. I mean, the draft is really just a moment in time, and you know, at the end of the day, all these players, whether they're especially at the bantam age and certainly at the NHL age, they're just starting their development. And so Colton Parayko misses the draft 1 year and then is a third-round pick. Braden Point's a third-round pick. You know, the story goes on and on. So these kids are all works in progress. And, you know, in that moment in time where they're selected, and I understand why people put emphasis on that because it's one of the few things they can actually see to measure where they're at. But it doesn't really mean a lot. And if you talk to any pro guy that's played in the NHL and they ask him about the draft, they'll tell you the same thing. They laugh about it. It was kind of a big deal at the time. But they'll tell you the draft doesn't matter. There's two kinds of players, guys that play and guys that don't. How you get there is just your story.
All right. I am going to read one text from a listener, Haji. He's taking me to task. He's saying, Bob, can you ask Jerry, without blowing smoke up our you-know-whats, if the Leon and Connor effect has actually made a difference in NHL players considering Edmonton? It seems like whenever a potential player is mentioned, they still have Edmonton on a list of their no-trade destinations. I guess we shouldn't ask questions we don't want to hear the answer to, but perhaps it will lend some credence to the moves or lack thereof that Ken Holland has made. How would you respond to that? Go for it.
It's a good question. I can honestly, I don't think I have any players that don't want to be in Edmonton. I mean, I think really, you know, the problem in the league is really cap dollars. Like, what do you have to spend? But I think, like, Duncan Keith loved it here, you know, really loved it. And I think that players understand
that. You had Milan Lucic.
Milan, yeah, he was pumped to sign here. Obviously, that didn't really work out as well, but he was so excited to be here. And so I don't think it's an issue of playing in Edmonton at all.
Has it helped the Oilers getting McDavid and Draisaitl?
Oh, yeah, two of the best players in the world. Like, you know, you guys, with those two guys and you know, you're a contender, a potential Stanley Cup winner every year. Like, you know, it's just a matter of putting the pieces around them and how they fit and, you know, what they cost and all that other stuff, which is awful tricky to do, you know. And the problem is, you know, everybody wants good players too, and everybody's trying to fill out their roster. So it's like everything in this business, very competitive, you know. But I think Edmonton's a destination for a lot of guys.
Okay, I'll ask you one more. I lied. Without naming the player, have you had a player currently under contract that the current NHL organization has given permission for you to talk to Ken Holland about a potential trade? A player from another team under contract with that club?
Do I have a player? That's a good question. I don't. Not that jumps out at me. Like, there's a couple of guys I think we know aren't going to be back, so we're talking, you know, we talk about them, but they're more obvious.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anybody, unless I'm missing something, that's a signed player that they're trying to move, that we've got the green light. But those are conversations we have with teams all the time. So it could be something I just know it doesn't jump to mind.
Okay. Jerry, great stuff. Much appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us here in Oilers Now. Best of luck in the draft.
Awesome. Thank you, Bob.
You bet. That is Jerry Johansson. He's based in Edmonton with the Sports Corporation. And, yes, we're getting texters here. I didn't get a chance to get all of the all of the texts that came in for the questions on Jerry, but thank you very much. A couple of people pointing out, Jerry currently, according to the agent leaderboard, which is supplied by Puckpedia and Hart Levine, Jerry Johansson with $525 million worth of total valuation of active contracts, which is the third largest of all agents in the business right now. Not bad for a guy based in Edmonton out of Western Canada. All right, we are in the final 4 minutes of Oilers Now. We will tell you at this time that we're going to go to this day in Oilers history for New West Travel. And back in the 630 Ched Studios, I think he's still there kicking around, is Cody Jansen.
Well, hey, Bob. Yeah, of course I'm still around. We got to go back to 2006. Great year, wasn't it? The Oilers, game number 6. They pummel the Hurricanes 4-0 in the Stanley Cup Final in front of an electric crowd at Rexall Place. Fernando Pisani actually had the game winner, and it came 1:45 into the first period. It was on the power play, too.
Yeah, it was awesome being in the building that night. The building was shaking, and I remember when I went and watched the game back, Bob Cole didn't talk for the final minute. He just let the crowd take over. That was a special, special moment. During the season, all season long, the Oilers Now lineup report is brought to you on game days by Craig Hummel at RE/MAX Excellence. Find your dream home, sell your old home, sold today, Edmonton.ca. Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports tonight. And that's from 6 until 8 p.m., of course.
Curtis Lazar's on the show.
Oh, Kurt, he is a free agent. Anybody else that he's got tonight, do you know?
Yeah, former Elks long snapper Ryan King, PGA Tour Canada player Jacob Solomon, and from the Ranch Golf and Country Club, Murray McCourt.
You know, Reed used to have fun with me because I'd have Rob Dahm on the show once in a while. Ryan King has appeared more on Reed's show than any guy I know. I'm going to point that out. He must be a heck of an interview because he's got a carry Reed every time that he's got him on. Just kidding, buddy. All right. Yes, that's Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins tonight from 6 to 8 p.m., and Reed would be laughing at that. No worries. Tomorrow, the Elks are in action against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Brendan Escott will have the countdown to the kickoff show beginning at 6 p.m. Morley and Dave Campbell, Morley Scott, as well as Blake Dermott, all part of the broadcast team with Brendan Escott this season. We will tell you that up next is a Global News weather traffic update with Kevin Robertson, and then Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3. 6:30 Chad Afternoons with guest host Ted Henley from 3 to 6 today. I will be back at you at noon on Monday. Guests will include Rob Brown as well as John Shannon and Kurt Hill, the GM of the Edmonton Oil Kings. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 6:30 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.